Hello, welcome back to How to Learn a Language, the podcast that does what it says in the title, teaches you how to learn a language. I'm Lindsay from Lindsay Does Languages, and I am your host of this show. Today, we're going to be talking a bit of a step-by-step guide to how I learn over 14 languages. And yeah, we're going to get into that in just a second. But first, as always, a little reminder that if you haven't already, do follow, subscribe, whatever the word is, wherever you're listening to this podcast, and be sure to rate and review as well, because that helps other people find the show, tells the algorithms that you like this thing and other people might like it too. And my little kind of karma pay it forward-esque recommendation on that front this week is Switched on Pop. If you've never heard this podcast, oh, it's so good. There's a really good archive there awaiting you. They really dig into pop music and kind of with a very... like not with a sort of sarcastic lens or patronizing. It takes it quite seriously and really it just does a good analysis. And the episode the other time of recording that I listened to was about Shakira. So obviously I'm going to recommend that one to you this week. All right, are you ready? Let's get into today's show. I have always felt kind of awkward when someone asks what languages I speak. Partly because I've never studied languages for some overly boastful reason. I've never done it for the number. I've never cared how fast or how well or how easy I've done it. Yet I know that from my work teaching people how to learn languages, there is this kind of mythical wonder that comes when you do say a number. So when someone asks me this question and I reply with my kind of standard wordy response of something like, oh, well, I've studied 14 to some sort of decent level at one point, but lots more at lower levels and I don't speak them all now, not to the same level, right? All that people often take from that is 14, whoa! And I totally get it, right? And 14 though, or 24 or 34 or 44, is a completely possible number of languages to study and still feel content with the results. So I wanted to share this with you to kind of clearly lay out how this has happened for me and how it can happen for you too. And you're likely reading this with a language or two or three, four, five beyond your native one or beyond your native ones already studied to some sort of level, right? Maybe there's more, right? So I'm aiming to make this a bit of a jumping point, so something that can help you advance to the next level you're after when you already have some of the groundwork done and dusted. So we have 8 key points that I'm going to talk you through that, you know, have been crucial to me when it comes to language learning, and in particular learning more and learning multiple languages and approaching that better each time as time's gone on. And I started, you know, I said at the beginning of this episode, a step-by-step guide to how I've learned over 14 languages. I started that with that headline thinking, okay, I'm going to probably talk like, I started learning French at this age and then I started learning Spanish. And I was like, well, it's kind of, that's not the most useful thing here. And when I really thought about it and sort of dissected it, there were these 8 things that really have helped across the board. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. Number one, use language knowledge you already have. How many times have you come across a resource that claims that the best way to learn is full immersion, right? So that means then that from track one on the audio course, there is nothing but French coming through the headphones. Even the instructions of what to do for each exercise are in French, and you can't even say bonjour. And this isn't always the best way. Don't get me wrong, right? I'm not anti-immersion, but, and I'll say it, and you've probably heard me say this before, I am anti this is the best and only way, which is often what immersion is held up as. Personally, I love taking advantage and using language knowledge gained from other language studies I've done to learn new languages. And I love to use English, my native language, when needed to. So yes, even when you learn your first additional language beyond your native one, you still have a whole other language to rely on, your own. Even if, you know, you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I just want to learn French for the first time, or I just want to really, really learn Japanese. I've never learned a language before. You still have your native language that you can be using as a tool. Think of it this way, right? All of the language knowledge that you already have is a tool that can help you learn the next one. So not using that tool, it's kind of like if you have a can opener in your kitchen drawer, but you insist on only using your hands to try and get at your beans. And no, there is no ring pull on this metaphorical tin, right? So use the tools that you have available. And this especially includes your existing language knowledge. It's not cheating. It doesn't mean that you are a worse language learner because you didn't do full immersion and you used English to learn French. Oh, it's terrible. It's going to No, it doesn't mean that. It's a tool that you have available. Use it. Number two, pick door opener languages. Now, what do I mean by door opener languages? Well, quite simply, it's a language that opens doors to other languages. So think about how French or Spanish make learning Italian, Portuguese, Romanian, Catalan, et al. A lot easier. Think of how Russian is a language that you'll suddenly think you start hearing or seeing when you read some words aloud from Czech, Polish, Serbian, Croatian and co, right? Use your understanding of language families and, let's be honest, often basic geography and history as well, to determine which languages will open doors for you. And maybe you're hearing me say this and you're thinking, ah, but my language is out there on its own, right? Maybe it's a language isolate like Basque, or a language kind of in its own lane like Albanian, or a language with a small language family that appears to be unlike anything else like Japanese or Korean. This is totally fine. And these languages can still open doors for you to others and have doors opened by other languages to them. So for example, my basic knowledge of Chinese characters from learning Mandarin Chinese really helped when approaching Japanese kanji for the first time. And I say first time, it still helps now, right? And the process, equally, of learning Japanese hiragana and katakana helped years later when I was able to apply similar techniques to learn Korean Hangul. The scripts are completely different, but that concept of learning a different writing system, I could still apply those similar techniques. So everything is connected, even when it's not obvious. It's always fun to find what few connections do exist. And personally, that feeling of unlocking new to me pathways and connections, one of my favorite things about learning languages altogether. I just adore this great big map of language that I'm forever building in my head. Number three, tune in to what works for you. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. We do not all learn languages best in one magical way. It is all too easy to be lured in with a catchy marketing slogan and a feels too good to be true promise on the front page of a website. But from now on, I want you to approach these sorts of claims with an open curiosity, not a skepticism as such. That's kind of an unfun way to go through life, but more so reading and observing a bit from a distance, so leaving your emotions at the door and kind of attempting to critically analyze and understand the claims that you see before you. Oof, sounds like a lot, right? How do you do this? What is the knowledge that you need to unlock this ability? The most powerful source of knowledge to help you do this is you. You don't need to wade through mountains of academic texts to discover it. You don't need to assume terrible resource until proven good. You just need to trust yourself, which, let's be honest, sometimes easier said than done, right? I'm going to share a personal example from my own language learning with you here to demonstrate how this works, right? I know that for me, audio-only resources don't hold my attention long enough. I wish they did. Wouldn't it be great to listen and simply learn a language that way? I would love that, right? But I know from years of experience of language learning that for me, it's not the most effective method. And equally, I know that lots of people love and have great success with tools like Pimsleur, Michelle Thomas, and other great audio courses. So when I go on their website and see the headline, "Get Conversational Quickly with Pimsleur," even now, I'm kind of susceptible to this. I feel this tinge of excitement that this time could be the time. So I have to check back in with myself, right? Remind myself of my past experiences with primarily audio courses. And remember that just because it's a great resource, that doesn't mean that it has to be my great resource. Number four, forget deadlines. Most of the time. We just had that Pimsleur example there that used the word quickly, right? This taps in to one of our greatest desires when learning a language, to do so quickly. The other one, if you're curious, is easy. We want to learn a language and we want it to happen quickly and easily. Why is this? Where does this come from? Well, I have a theory that there's a few reasons that contribute to this. One, we're adults. Adults know how to do stuff. We spent our childhood learning and being a beginner and sucking at stuff and having adults come over and fix our mistakes. But now we're adults, we're supposed to be fully formed, or so we think, have all the knowledge and know all of the things. And for the most part of our adult lives, we do. Now, what I mean by this is that we often pick jobs that play to our strengths. And if they don't, we pick them up quickly until we're teaching the newbie in the office how things work around here. We often choose hobbies that we enjoy and already possess some level of skill at doing. We tend to cook meals within our comfort zone from our repertoire of meals that we've prepared numerous times before, and so we've mastered to some sort of personal perfection. If we're taking a holiday, a meal out, a trip to the cinema, of course, we go somewhere on holiday that feels at least vaguely familiar to us. We pick a meal that we know and we watch a film that we think we're likely to enjoy. So as adults, in our everyday lives, we unknowingly position ourselves as experts, staying in our bubble of comfortable and safe options. It's quite rare for us to opt to be a beginner because, as we'll see very soon, being a beginner disempowers us. And that doesn't feel good. Two, we are in the instant gratification era. Why bother chopping veg, cooking the rice, and preparing a homemade korma yourself when you know you can get an Indian takeaway? Better yet, when you can get it delivered via an app on your phone and not have to leave the sofa. Why bother waiting for your next day off work to head to the shops and finally buy your new laptop when you can order it for same day delivery on Amazon? Again, probably from the sofa, right? Little by little, things have gotten quicker and easier in almost all areas of modern life. We are truly living in the era of instant gratification. As Ariana Grande sings as she swings her massive ponytail, "I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it." So when anything, language learning included, takes a little bit longer to see results, it's all too easy to feel deflated and give up. So the answer that we think we need to solve this? Well, naturally, we should learn quickly and easily and get it over and done with. 7 days, 6 weeks, 5 months, almost instant gratification. And three, it's kind of what we're sold and told. And again, no one's fault here. Marketers think that we want results quickly and easily, so they tell us it will happen quickly and easily with their product. They're marketers. This is their job. It's not their fault. They're simply promoting their product in a way they think will resonate with potential customers. So sure, there's ways that language learning products can be marketed more ethically. However, while there's demand for quick and easy are the words that will grace the front covers of language learning books in your local bookshop. So what does this all mean? Overall then, the reality is that although tight deadlines can sometimes be a motivator, they can often lead to feeling disappointed with ourselves when the results aren't quite what we'd ambitiously hoped. Not your fault. When you want a speedy game with a language, and if you know that deadlines do motivate you, then by all means, go ahead, set a deadline with a goal that hits the fine line between realistic and ambitious. However, most of the time, for long-term and for sustainable language success, it really is a matter of slow and steady wins the race. We can learn a lot from the tortoises of the world. Number five, embrace your current level always. we touched upon how it can be really difficult to be a beginner as an adult when the world expects us to know all the things by now. And I highly encourage you, perhaps more so than any other advice in this whole piece, to sign up for something new to you. Actively put yourself in the position of beginner. Join a Zumba class, register for a pottery course, sign up for the next thing you see on Eventbrite or on the community board in your local library or coffee shop. Part of what has helped me to learn languages endlessly is the fact that I've grown to love being a beginner. I embrace being bad at something. In the words of Jake the dog from Adventure Time, sucking at something is the first step to being sort of good at something. So the more comfortable we can get with not being an expert and being outside of our comfort zone, the genuinely quicker and easier it will be to continue learning a language. Plus, there's actually a lot of benefits to be found at every level in a language. For example, when you are a newbie in Italian and you have some solid Spanish under your belt, people might mistake you for a Spanish native speaker on your trip to Italy when there's some inevitable influence creeps into your Italian. What a confidence boost for your Spanish. That never happens in Spain. And as you learn more and become intermediate in Arabic, let's say, you have more vocab to help work around those tricky words that you don't know and don't actually need because, hey, you can work around them. So rather than dwell on how fluent we wish we were, we need to learn to embrace our current level always. 6, find and create anchors. The more languages you learn, the more fallout the other side of your brain, right? The old ones just don't have the space anymore, so it's literally in one ear and out the other. Except it's not. I don't speak, use, and remember the 14 languages that I've learned to conversational level or higher over the years. I mean, I have other things to do. Despite this, it doesn't take long to reactivate them and bring them back to front of mind. And this is one of the biggest things I've noticed hold people back from learning multiple languages. They think that it will be a waste of time if they don't get to a certain level in one before starting another. And that level is often undefined by them. The most common I hear is for B2. And I genuinely, confidently say that in my 2 decades plus of language learning being a part of my life, it has never been a waste of time. Yes. Even when considering languages, I don't speak well instantly now. Yes, even when considering languages for which I currently have unbalanced skills, and especially yes, when considering school lessons with a class full of people who'd rather be smoking behind the bike sheds, applying mascara, or climbing out of the windows. I should point out here that my language department at school was on the ground floor. And yes, people did climb out of the windows on multiple occasions. The thing that's always helped bring me back to a language, no matter how long it's been, is anchors. Having something that connects me to that language, something I enjoy, that feels like a secret wink or a nod between me and that language. Sometimes it's something obvious to you from the beginning, like the Japanese copy of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that I picked up in Japan before I'd really started learning the language. Sometimes it's the reason for starting a language in the first place, like Shakira for me with Spanish. I now add Bad Bunny to my list of Spanish anchors. And sometimes it's a little unintentional, like my late to the party discovery of the film Metropolis that got me thinking about German again years after I'd been learning it. Whatever it is and however it comes about, my point here is that when you can find and create anchors, something that draws you back to a language through passion, curiosity, or sheer delight, then you're onto something good. 7, let yourself forget. That feeling of in one ear and out of the other that we discussed in the last section, never has it been more prominent in language learning than with vocabulary. It starts in school, right? A list of 20 words to learn for next week's French vocab test. 10 words on the test. You have to learn all 20 for the best odds of scoring highly. But your homework diary entry, meticulously copied off the board, simply reads, learn vocab list. There's nothing about how to learn the vocab list, just to learn it. So you look, say, cover, write, check, just like primary school taught you, the only way you know how. And each time, they just don't seem to stick. gradually a few seep in and you always get the same two or three, but overall, nope, not happening. And so we bring this frantic, stressed out before we've even begun approach to our adult language learning too. We still haven't learned how to learn, but what we do know for certain, or what we think we know for certain, is that we must not, under any circumstances, forget. Once a word goes in, it must stay in. Cork your ears, shove some tissue up your nose, keep your mouth shut. Don't let the newly acquired word escape your head. Well, I have some good news. Forgetting is allowed. It is a valuable part of learning anything. We should all let ourselves forget. I recently picked up the book How We Learn by Benedict Carey, and chapter 2, all about forgetting. In fact, it's literally called The Power of Forgetting. TLDR, forgetting is a good and useful part of the process of learning. And I tell you, it felt good to finally have my suspicions on this confirmed. The chapter delves into lots of research and studies, but I'll sum it up for you with some words from the final paragraph of the chapter. Using memory changes memory, and for the better. Forgetting enables and deepens learning by filtering out distracting information and by allowing some breakdown that, after reuse, drives retrieval and storage strength higher than they were originally. So, go ahead. Forget stuff. Number 8, our final piece to the puzzle, learn how to learn. I've always been curious about learning, curious to know more about how it works, why some methods work for some people and others work best for others. Language learning has been no different for me. And honestly, learning how to learn languages has helped me endlessly when it comes to actually learning them. The more you know about something, the more you can understand the foundations of how it works, the better you're able to approach that thing. And hey, if that description has you thinking, but I can't learn to drive without getting in the car, then you'd be right. You don't learn how to learn languages in isolation without actually keeping up with your French lessons. Simultaneously, learning languages and learning how to learn them is the best way to approach this. So there we have it, a quick recap of our 8 principles in this step-by-step guide of how you can learn as many languages as you want. Number 1, use language knowledge you already have. Number 2, pick door opener languages. Number 3, tune in to what works for you. Number 4, forget deadlines most of the time. Number 5, embrace your current level always. Number 6, find and create anchors. Number 7, let yourself forget. And number 8, learn how to learn. There we go. That's it for this episode. I hope that you've enjoyed this and found it useful. If you have, do be sure to follow along, subscribe, whatever it is where you're listening. And if you're feeling generous today, I recommend you rate or review the podcast. It's completely free to do so. It just lets other people know that this is something they might enjoy. All right. That is it for this episode. Any questions, do feel free to email me, as always, lindsay@doeslanguages.com, and I'll be back very soon. Thank you. Bye.